Today, Shirin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Zayin. We're going to continue to learn for the safety, the success of the Chayalim, Yezus Hashem, all of those in need of Refuah Shleimah should have them b'mheira. They should bring back the Chatufim b'mheira in good health, and Yezus Hashem, there should be Shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we're going to pick up, we read this yesterday, we'll pick up in the very last line of Mem Vov Omid Beis, a little Chazara. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna. Rabba says over the name of Rav Huna, we'll then have a statement Rav Abba in the name of Rav Huna. So two statements in the name of Rav Huna. The first one is, Rabba's version of Rav Huna said, if a person says, Mechor Li Be'elu, if a person goes to his friend, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, here's a bundle of money, here's a bunch of money, and I want to purchase this item from you. So, Kama, so he acquires them, Reuven acquires them the minute, and we turn to Mem Zayin with Aleph, the minute that Shimon takes that bundle of money, that bunch of money from him, Mos Elu, so then he gets the item that he's purchasing. It's a Kinyan Chalipin with this money. And in this situation, according to Rabba's version of Rav Huna, V'yesh lo olav ono. However, if there's an overcharge over here, he's paying too much, he's entitled to get the overcharge back. Again, all the rules of onah, of overcharge, apply in this situation. As Rashi says, Tav Rashi, im ein bimoz kidei dimei hachefetz, shepichas ushtus. So the person who's selling it, Shimon, let's say he was underpaid. He was expecting to get $200 for it, and he only got $100 for it, so he's entitled to either retract the sale or get his money back, depending on what the amount of the overcharge was. So, v'yesh lo olav ono. Now, as I just spoke out, when Reuven acquires the item as soon as Shimon does a taking of the money, so then kana afa gadlo moshach, Reuven gets this item that he bought from Shimon, even though there was no actual kinyan. He didn't do mashiach or hagbah on the item. And that is because it's a Kinyan Chalipin. The Kiva and the Lo Kapit, since they weren't exact over here about how much money was in this bunch of money that he gave over, so therefore, Kana, he acquires it as a Chalipin. The Chi Chalipin Domi. This money functions over here as Chalipin. V'yeshlo olav onah. But there is onah in this situation because the Mecharli, the Elu Kamale, because it wasn't a pure Chalipin, he said, I want to purchase from you this item. The person who's buying it, Reuven, is saying to Shimon, with this bunch of money over here, I want to purchase this. So it's a chalipin in the sense that the money here seems to be able to effectuate the actual acquisition of the item to Reuven, but there is a din of onah still possible. That is what Rabba says in the name of Rav Huna, because it is a sale. On the other hand, Rav Abba on Rav Huna, Rav Abba has a different understanding of Rav Huna. He had said, Mechor li be'elu, when Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I want to purchase your item with this bunch of money over here, Mechor li be'elu. So in that situation, Kana, the acquisition works as a Kinyan Chalipin, the Elu olav onah, since he said it's a Kinyan Chalipin, so the Sudor doesn't have to be worth the amount of the item that you're going and acquiring. So too, this bunch of money doesn't have to be worth the item that you're acquiring, and therefore, you do not have the dinim of onah, it's a regular kinyan chalip. Okay, so these are the two versions of Rav Huna. Now, this is all the end of the chazara from yesterday, and now we go into the questions. So the Gemara says, number one, pshita, it's clear, domim v'ein makbir aleihem, that in the situation where it was an unspecified amount of money, and they didn't seem to be particular in the amount of money over here, so hal karmin and dekani, the chalipin domu. So then we clearly said, everybody held that way. Both Rabba's version as well as Rav Abba's version of Rav Huna clearly say that this is a situation where the money is functioning as a Kinyan Chalip, because they weren't makbid on how much money should be there. That's very clear. However, what would be the situation where they were makbid on the amount of money? Chalipin umakbid aleihem. If they specified how much this should be worth, what would be the halacha? So, what's exactly the case? So, Amar Rav Abba Bar Abba Toshma. Let's bring the raya to what the case actually is over here, and then come to the Psak Halacha from the following brisa. The brisa states, Hare Shaya Tofes Paroso V'Omeid. Guy went to the market, and he has his cow. He's holding on to his cow. Tofes Paroso V'Omeid. Now, that's Reuven. Uba Chaveiro, Shimon comes along, V'Yamalo Parosha Loma. Why did you bring this cow over here? As Rashi says, Lama heveso bashuk. Why did you bring it to the market today? Why did you bring your cow to the market? So the person, Reuven, says, Lechamor, I need tzarech, because I'm looking to purchase a donkey, and I'll use my para to pay for that donkey. No, Shimon says, great, yesh li chamor, shani no se lecha. Great, I have a donkey that I will go and sell to you. No, paroscha bekama, how much are you looking to get for your cow? Bekach bekach. So Reuven says, I'm expecting to get such and such amount of money. He specifies what he's saying he would like to sell his cow for. No, then Reuven says to Shimon, no, chamorcha bekama, no. How much are you looking to sell your donkey for? No, bikach v'kach. And Shimon says, for this much. Great. Moshach bal hachamor esapora. So Shimon, who is selling the donkey, goes and makes a kinin mishicha on the para of Reuven. They each specified how much they were looking to get for their respective cow and donkey, respectively. And therefore, Shimon goes and makes a kinin mishicha on the para of Reuven. The moment he does so, v'lo hispik bala para limshoch es hachamor at shemes hachamor. But Reuven, the owner of the cow, doesn't make a kinyan on the chamor before the chamor dies. Now, the Braisa states, lo kana bala chamor es hapara. In this situation, we don't say that the bala chamor, who did the kinyan mashiach on the para, acquires the para. Why? Shma mina. Let us learn from here. Rav Adam Rava says from this brisa, Shma mina chalipin umakpid aleihem lo kana. In this situation, clearly each of them wanted to get something for their respective para and chamar, and therefore Reuven expected to get a certain value when he sold his para to Shimon, and Shimon expected to get a certain value when he sold his chamar to Reuven, and therefore if he doesn't get the value because the chamor dies, so then Reuven doesn't want that sale to go through. So this is a case of, it's a kinyan chalipin, they're exchanging the chamor for the para. However, since they're makbid to get their money, if they don't get the value of their money, then lo kana, then the kinyan chalipin doesn't acquire. And therefore, the question that we raise, chalipin umakbid alein, my, seems to be answered that if you're making a kinyan chalipin and you're makbid to make sure that you get your value, so then the kinyan chalipin doesn't work. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, lav davka. Otu chalipin bishuftani askinan? In general, are we talking that a kinyan chalipin is dealing with fools? Shuftani, we've had the word previously many times. Are we dealing here with fools, the low copti, that don't care? When I am acquiring your item with a kinyan chalipin, am I automatically, every situation, not caring that I get any value for what I'm purchasing or what I'm selling? No. Obviously, a kinyan chalipin, both sides care. I'm exchanging my item for your item. I'm giving you this for that. I expect to get something for what I'm giving you. You expect to get something for what you're giving me. And therefore, every situation is to a certain extent that they're makbid to get something. So how can you say that this Bryce is talking about, oh, only here where they were makbid, but in general people aren't makbid about exchanges? Of course they are. We're dealing with fools? So the Gemara says, Ella, Rava tells us, kol chalipin mikbat kofte v'kono. In every case of kinyan chalipin, both sides each want to get something. They're not doing this as fools. So every case of a kinyan chalipin, they're makbid, and nevertheless, a kinyan chalipin works, v'kana. So what is unique here? V'hocho b'may askinin, our braisa that we just brought down, is dealing with the following. D'yomale, the person said, chamor b'para utle. The person who had the chamor said, okay, my chamor, that's worth $1,000. Your par was only worth $750. You got to throw in a little shabsala. You got to throw in a tle to make up the difference. So what they really were saying in the braisa is, I will give you my chamor that's worth $1,000 for your par that's worth $750 plus your little shepsela, your little sheep that's worth $250. Oh, that was the deal. And when Shimon made a kinyan mashiach on the para of Reuven, all he did it was on the para. Umasha chasapara, however, vadayin at that point in time, lo masha chasatle when the donkey died. So therefore, he hadn't done official kinyan sudar. He hadn't done an official kinyan of chalipin. The lo havale mashicha ma'alya. And therefore, he only did a partial mashicha. In order to make this a kinyan chalipin, he would have had to have done a kinyan mashicha on the para and on the tle. Not one or the other. He would have had to make a kinyan mashicha on both of them. Ah, Yes, here it's talking about where you only made a kinyan on one of the two items. Yes, you didn't acquire it, and therefore the donkey doesn't get transferred over to the other guy. And in this situation, if the donkey dies before Reuven does make a kinyan on the donkey, or before Shimon had made a kinyan as well on the tleh, so then you're right, the deal didn't go through. That's how you explain the brisa. But Rava says, in general, both sides are absolutely makbid. Nobody expects to give something and not get something in return, and yet a kinyan chalipin works. Now, on my merit, we go back and repeat the dinim of Rav Huna that we brought down in the name of Rabba and in the name of Rav Abba. Amar, Mukharli Be'elu, in the scenario where Reuven says to Shimon, listen, I'm going to give you a bunch of money and sell me your item, Kana. We said that the exchange works. As soon as Shimon gets the bunch of money, Reuven owns that item. However, according to the first version, Rabba, in the name of Rav Huna, Be'eshlo Olav Onah. But there is dinim of Onah here if the amount that Shimon was expecting to get is less than what he's expecting to get. So then there's Onah, and he's entitled to, following through the rules of Onah, either retract the deal or to go and get the money that he's additionally owed. So that is what Amar Mar, we're repeating this statement of Rabba in the name of Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, clearly you see from here, Lema Sava Rav Huna, Matbeya Nasa Chalipin. You clearly see from Rav Huna that this coins, this bunch of coins, can act as a sudar and make this kinyan chalipin. So clearly, Rav Huna holds matbeya nasa chalipin. So let us bring a raya to this din that we've been asking for the last couple of days. Can a coin make a chalipin or not? Let's bring a raya from Rav Huna that it can. Someone says, no, not necessarily so. Because Rav Huna saw like Rav Yochanan. In fact, Rav Huna holds like the opinion of Yochanan, which we said several times already. We'll have more today. Shia. The Amar Dvar Torah Mos Konos. Min Hadin Min Dior Raisa. Money does make an acquisition. When Reuven gives Shimon $100, boom. At that moment, that Shimon takes $100, Reuven technically acquires the item, and it's his. But the rabbis were concerned. Umipnei Ma Amru Mishicha Kona. Why did the rabbis say no? Even though midoraisa, Reuven owns the item, as soon as he pays for it, the money is able to bring it into his possession. When he gives the money to Shimon, he acquires the item that Shimon is selling. No, the rabbi said no. Until Reuven actually makes a kinyan mishicha on that item, it still belongs to Shimon, and Shimon is still responsible for it. Why is that? Because the rabbi said, Gezerah, Shema Yomelo, because we are concerned that Shimon will no longer watch that. It's in his attic, it's in his silo, but he says, I don't own it anymore. So, Rechmano Lassan, if there's a fire in the middle of the night, so then the rabbis made the Gezerah, Shema Yomelo, because we're concerned that Shimon is going to tell Reuven, sorry, buddy, Nisifu Chitecha Baliyah, you know, I had all of your wheat in my attic, but it's no longer my wheat. It was your wheat. And there was a fire in the middle of the night. And guess what? I didn't get up to go and save it. I stayed in bed. And therefore, your wheat burned down. So the rabbis were concerned that this might happen. And therefore, Milso de Shlicha Gazu Be Rabbanu. This was something that would be on a regular case, almost all the deals, that Shimon wouldn't properly watch what he had already sold to Reuven, yet it's still in Shimon's possession. So the rabbi said, we're going to nullify the din d'oraisa that Reuven actually acquired it. Hefker based in Hefker. Basin has the right to go and say, no, Reuven, you haven't acquired it yet until you make a kinyan mashicha, and this is your own protection. So therefore, Shimon will be encouraged and spurred and incentivized to go and save the item, which is in his possession, albeit you technically owned it. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzera. But the rabbis only make gzeras for things that are common. Milso de shlicha gazbo rabbanon. However, milso de lo shlicha, like this scenario that we brought down from the brisa, the Reuven giving a bundle of coins to Shimon without knowing what it was, Umilsa Dol Shicha, that's a very unusual situation. Lo Gozu Barabara. The rabbis never made Xera. In that situation, the basic din daraisa takes effect that when Reuven gives money to Shimon, he automatically acquires with the giving of the money the item. So in this situation where Reuven gave Shimon a bundle of money to go and get his item from him, so that's an unusual situation. The rabbis never made a gzera. We leave the din, as Rav Yochanan says, midvar Torah mos konos, and that's why it's not working as a kinyan chalipin here. It works through the basic din that mos konos min haTorah. Now, amalei mar huna berei de Rav Nachman Ravashi. So mar huna, don't get confused that with Rav Huna. Mar huna, who is the son of Rav Nachman, says to Ravashi, Aton hochimatzislu. You learned this the way we just said. However, anan hochimatzinlo. We learned it in the following way. V'chein amar Rav Huna. We learned it that yes, Rav Huna specifically said, Ein Mateya Nasa Chalipin. Rav Huna specifically holds that a Mateya cannot make a Kinyan Chalipin. And therefore, this din was established in the case with the bundle of money because Ein Mateya Nasa Chalipin, and it must have worked with the din daraisa that money acquires because this was a dover that wasn't Shriach, and therefore, that is why the basic din applied Mos Konos and not the Gzeira, because it wasn't something typical, not something usual, and the Gzeira didn't apply in that situation. Now, by Matt Conan, how do you actually go and make a Kenyan Sudor? So we have two different opinions here. Rav Omar Bekelyo Shel Kone, the one who's purchasing it, Ruvain takes out his kerchief and he's purchasing from Shimon. And he says, go and take my kerchief. And when I give you my kerchief, so you have acquired my kerchief, in return, I acquire the item that you're selling to me. That's what Rav says. The Nichole Lekona, that it is good for the Kona, for Ruvain, the Leheve Makne Kona, that Shimon should acquire his Sudar, and in return, Kihechi the Ligmar Vilakne Le, so that in return, Shimon goes and exchanges the item that he purchased via this Kinyan Sudar to Ruvain. So, according to Rav, Ruvain, the purchaser, gives his kerchief to Shimon to make the Kinyan Sudar. Levi says, Pumfaket. Levi Omar, Bekelyo Shel Makne. Shimon takes out his Sudar and he gives it to Ruvain. Kidabayinu Lemein Melkamen, as we will explain how that works in a moment. Now, that is the din that was brought down. The machlok is between Rav and Levi as to whose Sudar it is that you made the Kinyan. Again, Rav says that it's Ruvain, the purchaser, who gives over his Sudar to Shimon, the seller, and Levi says the opposite. He says it's the seller, Shimon, who gives over his kerchief to Ruvain, the buyer, the purchaser, and that is the machlokas Rav and Levi. Now, Amalei Rav Huna mi Discarta l'Rova. Rav Huna, who came from Discarta, that's different than the Rav Huna that we've been talking about till now, this Rav Huna said to Rava, Ula Levi, according to Levi, the Omar Bekelyo Shomakni, he says that it's Shimon, the one who's selling, it's his Sudar, and he gives it over to Ruvain. So ha kokone ara agav glima. He says, wait a second. Rav Huna Midiskarta says, if this is so, so when Shimon gives over his Sudar, he's giving over a mitaltali. He's giving over a movable property. And if he wants through the Kinyan Chalipin, his item to go over to Ruvain, that would include, let's say, a field. That Kinyan Chalipin would work on this field. And therefore, Im Kain, Havle Nichosim Sheish Lamachrayis, Viniknin Im Nichosim Shein Lamachrayis. The Sudar, which is metalically, i.e., property that doesn't have Achrayis on it, is acquiring for Reuven the Nichosim Sheish Lamachrayis. This field, again, fields are something that Yesh Lamachrayis, is coming along via the metalically. But that's the opposite of what we learned in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Vanan Ilchotzinan, we learned in Kiddushin, and Daf Chav Vav, it tells us, Nuchosim She'ein Lehem Achrayis, it's movable property, things that don't have Achrayis, are acquired nickdim im Nuchosim She'ein Achrayis. When you sell somebody a field, you can also sell them other things, movable property, and it comes along with the Kinyan on the field. But not the other way around. You can't sell somebody a item that doesn't have a chrayis, i.e. movable property, metalkli, and have the field come along with it. So Rav Huna Midiskarta says, I don't understand how this works over here. If Levi says that Shimon gives over his Sudar, so that's the movable property that's being acquired by Ruvain, how does that make it that the field comes along? That's metalkli bringing along karka, which doesn't work. So Rav Huna Midiskarta asks this question to Rava, and Rava says, you really don't understand this very well. Amalei, Ihava Levi Hocha, if Levi had been over here, you know what he would have done? Hava Mapik Li Apoch Pulse Denura. He would have gone and taken, Rashi says, these Nitzotso Shalor, these sparks of light. Rashi gives a foreign language word for them. Shein agulos around kipulsa, like a pole. The amrinon, lekamon, asimon pulsa. That we see that a slug is a round item. So it's referred to as a pulsa. So he would have taken these sparks of fire, and Rashi says this is a losh shanta. He's not literally taking this. He would have put you in chayrib. He would have put you in shanta because you didn't really understand his opinion well. And therefore, you're asking questions on something that you don't understand, so to say, you get put into Shamta. In other words, Rava says, what you, Rav Huna, me discard to ask over here, that it seems to be when Levi gives over his Sudar, that this is metatoli, that is now going to bring over property in the Chosim Sheshem Machrayis, that's totally incorrect. Because what happened over here was that Behai Hana, the Komakabumine, when Shimon gives over his Suda to Reuven, and Reuven accepts it. So the pleasure that Shimon got from Reuven accepting his gift, Behai Hana, the Komakabumine, it's a big thing if somebody accepts a gift from you. And therefore, the fact that Reuven accepted this gift from Shimon, that Hana Gomar Viakdile, that is what transfers over the property from Shimon to Reuven, but not because it's metaltali that's bringing along the karka. Okay, so this machlokas between Rav and Levi, the Gemara now wants to suggest is kitanoi. Is it actually a machlokas tanoi? And we see from the following brisa, we bring down a pasuk from the fourth and final perik of Rus, where it tells us v'zos lifanim biyisrael. This was the common way that they would practice deals in Klai Yisrael. Al hageula. The Al HaTemura, which we'll explain in a moment what the Geul and the Temura refer to, Lekayim Kol Dovar, in order to effectuate the Kinyan, Shalaf Ish Nalo V'Nosel Rio, we take off his shoe and give it to his friend. Now, how do we dash this pasuk? So what does it mean? This was the common practice, V'Zos Lefnim B'Yisrael Al HaGeula. What is Geula referring to? Geula Zumachira. This is referring to a sale. And V'Cheinu Omer, we see this, Lo Yigael. We have, in regards to Maisa Behema, that there is no way to go and redeem it. The animal gets a mum, so it just can't be brought up on the base of English, but there's no way to redeem it. V'cheinu omer lo yigael. Okay, so that's the word geul, and the pasuk is talking about a sale. Tumura, that's referring to zuchalib, and this is an exchange. Just like we have the word tumura, v'cheinu omer lo yachlifenav lo yomira, so we have the din by a carbon, that if you want to exchange this carbon and give the kedusha to another animal and take away the kedusha for this animal, it doesn't work. Both of them now are kadosh. That's a tumura. So we see that the lashon of tumura is an exchange. So therefore, when we use in the pasuk in Rus, geula, that's referring to a sale, tumura is referring to a chalipin, an exchange. And when it says, likayim kol dovar, in order to establish this, shalaf ish nalo, v'nosel riyeh, you take off your shoe and you give it to your friend. So we ask in the brisa, mi nosan lemi, who in this situation took off his shoe and gave it to who? So here we have a machlokas tanoim, which parallels a machlokas between Rav and Levi. Boaz nosan legoel. The Tanakam in the brisa says that it was Boaz who's trying to go and acquire Rus because she is in need of Yibum. So Boaz is the one that gave to the Goel, the Ploni Almoni, he gave him his shoe. Boaz Nosan Legoel. So that would be analogous to Rav, that the person who's buying it gives his Sudar to the person who's selling it. Reuven gives the Sudar to Shimon. Boaz gave his shoe, the equivalent of a Sudar, to the Ploni Almoni. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Goel Nosan Leboaz. It was Ploni Almoni that gave it to Boaz. Shimon is the one that will give his shoe to Reuven. Shimon, the one who's selling, gives his shoe to Reuven. And that would be exactly like the opinion of Levi. So the Gemara says, this machlokas between Rav and Levi is actually a machlokas tanoim between the Tanakama, who holds like Rav, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, that holds like Levi. The Gemara continues and gets to the machlokas that we've been alluding to for the last couple of days, and that is the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman as to what actually constitutes a valid sudar. We call it a kinyan sudar, kinyan chalipin. So what does it have to be in order to make a kinyan sudar? So we've already said that we had the machlokas about can money be the kinyan sudar or not? Can money function as the sudar? So here we have the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes as to whether you need specifically a kli, or can it be any type of peira, any type of commodity? Now, Tana, we learn the Brisa. Konim bichli, that the Tanakhama says in the Brisa that you can acquire something with a kli. The kinyan chalipin must be with a kli. Afa pi shein bo shava pruta. Even though it's not worth a shava pruta, it is functioning not as money, it is functioning as a chalipin, and the chalipin can even work even though the suda is not worth a shava pruta. That is what the Brisa says. Now, Amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman explains the Brisa and he says, Lo Shanu Ela B'Kli, this Kinyan Sudar, and it can even be worth less than a Shava Pruta, the item, is only because the item is a Kli. And we'll see, he bases upon the Psukim. Avol B'Peri Lo. But you cannot make a kinyan sudar with a commodity, even if the commodity is worth a lot of money. It's worth much more than a shava pruta. Kinyan chalip, it only works with a kli, but it doesn't work with peira. This is the shita of Rav Nachman, and this is what we said in the last couple of days of shiur. Here's the source. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Rav Sheshes Amar, no, not only can it be a kli, but a sudar can even be something that is a commodity. Afilu bepeiros. It can even be something that is not a kli. Now, why does each one say what they say? My time with Rav Nachman, what's Rav Nachman's reasoning? Because he says, we just had this pasuk from Rus, which is the paradigm for teaching us how to make a kinyan chalipin, and it says, Amakra nalo. He specifically took off his shoe. They like the Tanakhama that Boaz took off his shoe. Bain like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana that the Ploni Almoni took off his shoe. Pasuk says, shoe, nalo. So nal in, it has to be something that's like a shoe, a kli, mi diachrin alo, but not a commodity. So that's how Rav Nachman understands the pasuk. No, my time with the Rosh Hashanah, what does Rosh Hashanah say? No, it can even be peiri. It can even be something that's not a kli. Because he says, keep on reading the pasuk in Rus. It says, amakra l'kayim kol dovar. Anything can go and function in this way, even a commodity. No, what does Rav Nachman do with that pasuk? L'kol dovar. L'Rav Nachman nam yoksiv l'kayim kol dovar. Anything, implying not only a kli. So Rav Nachman would answer, how l'kayim kol dovar, the nickname bimino. It's coming to teach us that anything can be acquired via this kinyan chalipim with the minnow. But the actual chalipim item, the kinyan sudar, has to be, the sudar has to be a kli, and it can't be peiri. That's what the word l'kayim kol dovar comes to teach us. Anything can be exchanged once you're using a proper kli. No, what does Rosh Hashanah do with the word nalo of Rav Nachman? Rosh Hashanah nam yoksiv nalo, that seems to apply, it must be a kli. So I'm like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah would say, no, ma nalo dover ha-misuyam. Just like the nalo, the shoe, has to be an entire entity. It's a dover ha-misuyam. It's not a half of something. So I've called dover ha-misuyam. So the actual sudor that you're using has to be a complete item. Albeit it could be something that's not a kli, it could be a commodity. Af kol dover mesuyim lafuki, as opposed to, you can't give the guy as a kinyan sudar chatzi rimo, a half of a pomegranate, or the chatzi egos, or half of a walnut. That will not work, the law. That will not go and be a valid kinyan sudar. So this is the machlokas that we've been talking about so much between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman as to what is a valid sudar. Again, Rav Nachman, based upon the word nalo, says it must specifically be a utensil, a kli, whereas Rav Sheshes says, no, based on his understanding of l'kayim kol dover, it could be, as long as it's an intact, entire object, it could even be a commodity. Okay. Mark continues and says, Om Rav Sheshes b'rei d'ravidi, Rav Sheshes, who's the son of Ravidi, said, Kiman kasvino n'idna, in accordance with which opinion, when we do a kinyan sudar today, that we say in the document that goes and codifies the kinyan sudar, so you have proof that this took place, bimone de kosher limiknaya bay. We say it should be with a mona, with an item that is kosher, that is capable of doing this, in order to make this effectuation to make the kinyan. So, what does it mean when it says bimone? So that means lafuke, me the Rav Sheshes, the Omar Konin Beperos. So it says it must be specifically with a mone. So our documents seem to be in accord with the opinion of Rav Nachman, that you must use a kli as the sudar, and it can't be a commodity, it can't be peira. So from the fact that we write in the document, bimana seems to side with the opinion of Rav Nachman. Furthermore, when we say it has to be something that is kosher to do this, that comes to exclude lafuke midishmol. That comes to exclude the opinion of Shmuel. The Amar Konin, and we turn to Mem Zayin Amid Beis, the Amar Konin bimiroka, that you can go and acquire this sudar, this kinyan sudar, with something that is even miroka. Rashi says, kli ha'asui miglolei bakar. According to Shmuel, it doesn't have to be a fancy kli, but according to the way we write our documents today, it excludes Shmuel's opinion, and it must be a kosher kli and not a dung kli, not a kli that's made out of the glolei bakar, the excrement of a cow. Then, when it says in our documents, limiknaya, so that term, limiknaya, to make the kinyan, is lafuke, to exclude midalevi. Levi's opinion, diomar bekel yushamakne, that goes to say that Rav's opinion, that Reuven, the one who's purchasing, gives over his suda to Shimon, and not like Levi says, that Shimon, the one who's selling, gives over his suda to Reuven. So therefore, the word lemiknaya, to go and make this exchange, so Reuven gives it over to Shimon to make the exchange. Kamash v'lon lemiknaya v'lo lekanuye. It comes to go and acquire it as opposed to giving it over. So therefore, lemiknaya bay means that Reuven giving over this sudar acquires the item from Shimon. So this goes in accordance with Rav and is to exclude the opinion of Levi. And finally, lemiknaya bay, that's the fourth word. We had mana de kosher, lemiknaya, and the final fourth word that we say in the document, bay, what does that mean? So Rapapa Amar, that comes lemiute matbeya, that comes to exclude a coin from being this utensil that you're going to make the kinyan chalipin. Rav Zvid, v'item Rav Ashi Amar, lemute isure hana. They say, no, it comes to go and exclude something that is usur for you to get benefit from, that can't be used as this vessel to go and make the kinyan chalipin. So according to Rav Papa, it is a miut, lumiute matveya. It comes to exclude something when it says the word bay, and it says bay, a utensil, and not money. According to Rav Zvid, or alternatively Rav Ashi, it's coming bay, it must be something that you get hanor from, excluding something that you can't get hanor from. So the kinyan that is being made with this sudor, with this mana, must be something that you can get benefit from. It can't be something that's also hanor. That's the first version. Ika the Amre, we have a second version where Rapapa's statement about Bey is not challenged by Rav Zvid, Vitem Rav Ashi. According to the second version, Rapapa said Bey, and everybody agrees with it. Bey, Omar Rapapa, Lemute Matbeya, it comes to exclude a coin. Nobody argues on that. That is the only understanding that we have the word Bey. But according to the second version, the word Kasha, which the first version had used to exclude the opinion of Shmuel that said Bimiroka, so this Ika Diamri says you don't need that. Amar Zvid Vitam Ravashi, the word the kosher is Lemute Isurianah. It's something that is also banah, is not allowed to be used as the Kinyan Chalipin, as the Sudar. But Shmuel's din, Bimroka, that you can't use clay galalim, I don't need the word the kosher to get rid of Abel Morika. Before we had Morocco, Morika, similar idea, Lo Itzra. You don't need specifically a drasha over here in the document, the kosher, to go and exclude that. Why not? Because they're basically included in something that's also bana. It's not something that's substantive. It's not something that is considered significant, and that's why it's not included. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. We quote our Mishnah back from the beginning of the Perek. Asimon kone esamat be v'chule. We said that an asimon, which we had explained, is a slug. It's a non-minted coin. It's just a round piece of whatever material the metal is. So that is considered a commodity, and therefore it can be kone when you acquire this commodity. So the sale goes through, and not including the dinam of chalipin, it just goes through as a sale. That's the way we've explained the Mishnah. And therefore, when Reuven gives over the asimon to Shimon, we'll go like Rav, so Reuven gives over his asimon to Shimon, so at that moment in time, he goes and acquires the item, and he now owes the money to Shimon. That is what we learned in the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara asks, my asimon, what exactly is this asimon? Again, those that are familiar back from many years ago in Eretz Yisrael, they had the asimon, was the token, the non-minted coin that was used to put into the payphones. So, what is this asimon? So, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Mos hanitanos b'simon levei samerchos. This was like a slug, a coin that they were given to the bathhouse. And to say, yes, I paid my bill, and here's, they gave me the receipt. And this asimon was basically functioning as a receipt to allow you into the bathhouse. Rashi explains, the balon, the bathhouse attendant, would be mekabel simonim. He would take this asimon, miyad hanimnim, from the people that would purchase them, so he would know how much ladas, kamahem, how many people are going to use the bathhouse today. And therefore, he would go and prepare ladas, kamahem, how many they are, lefihem yicham hamayim, and to that number he would go and warm up an adequate amount of water, v'yochin aluntios, he would go prepare the towels for them. And in order to know how much he should go prepare, he would collect and know, well, I got 20 simonim over here, I got 20 of these asimon coins, that means that 20 people are going to need to use the bathhouse today. Gemara says, Meisu, wait a second. Are you telling me that that's what an asimon is? So, ein mechal and meisu sheni ala simon. We have the din that we mentioned previously. It says, v'tzarta kesef yodecha, that you must specifically use a coin that has a tzura on it in order to go and deconsecrate your meisu sheni produce onto that coin. So, the Braisa tells us, Tanakama says, ein mechal and meisu sheni ala simon. You can't use an asimon to go and deconsecrate your meisu sheni. Likewise, v'lo almos hanhitanos b'simon lebeis hamerchatz. And likewise, you can't use the money that was given over as a simon to the bathhouse attendant, how much water, how many towels you should prepare. Now, it seems to say an asimon is separate from this simon hanhitanos lebeis hamerchatz. Michlal the asimon lavmos hanhitanos b'simon lebeis hamerchatz. It's two separate things. How can you tell me the asimon was this simon that they gave to the balon in the Beis HaMerchatz to know how many people are using it? You're going to tell me, you're not allowed to use an asimon to go and deconsecrate your Meisei Sheni. And what is this asimon? Oh, that's the mos hanitonos b'simon Beis HaMerchatz. The second part is an explanation of the first part according to Tanakama. V'chitema pirushi kol mefarish. So the more it says, the halotanochi, but that's not what the Braisa says, because the Braisa further says Michal and Meiser Sheni ala Simon dire Rabbi Dosa. In fact, Rabbi Dosa disagrees with the Tanakhama de Braisa, and Rabbi Dosa says that you can use a non-tsura coin. He doesn't hold the drasha with tsarta kesev yadecha. He says you can use a non-tsura coin, a slug, to go and redeem your Meiser Sheni, and it's the Chachamim, the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the Chacham Omrim. Ain mechalin that the chachamim say no, v'tzarta kesef yadecha. But both opinions, Rabbi Dosa and the chachamim, v'shavin she'ain mechalin amos, and he told us v'simon lebeis hamerchatz. They all agree that this marker that they would give to the balon to go and know how many people are using the bathhouse that day. Everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Dosa says you can't use that. So clearly, an asimon is different than this marker, the mos and he told us v'simon lebeis hamerchatz. So how can you tell us, Rav, that that's the definition of asimon? It's mos hanitonos b'simon lebeis hamerchatz. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the right understanding of asimon is, my asimon, it means pulsa. So as we pointed out, it means a coin that doesn't have a tsura on it. It's not the same coin that they gave to the bathhouse attendant, but it's a slug. It's a coin that doesn't have a pulsa. Rashi explains, pulsa means mechuser tsura. And this is what an asimon is. And the oz, the Rav Yochanan, taimei. And Rav Yochanan, in fact, is in accordance with his opinion expressed elsewhere. The Amr of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said elsewhere, Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Dover Echad. The Rabbi Dosa, who we just had now, and Rabbi Shmuel both say the same thing. Rabbi Dosa, what did he say? Hodam Mina, that which we just said. The Rabbi Dosa holds Bechalun, Maisa Sheni, Alasimo. The Rabbi Dosa doesn't hold the drush of it. Tzarta, Kesab, Yadecha. And he says, you can use this slug, you can use this asimon to go and deconsecrate your Meisei Sheni produce. Oh, ha Rabbi Dosa, ha di amar. Now, where did Rabbi Shmuel say the similar thing to Rabbi Dosa? Rabbi Shmuel, Mahi. Rabbi Yochanan said that they both said a similar thing. Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Dover Echad. So we see Rabbi Dosa saying it. Where do we see that Rabbi Shmuel says a similar thing? Rabbi Shmuel, Mahi. The Tanya, we learn the following braisa, v'tzarta kesef yadecha, this pasuk that tells us, you have to go and take the money in your hand, bring the deconsecrated Meisei Sheni produce funds, which are consecrated onto the kesef that you redeemed your produce on, you have to bring that up to Yerushalayim. L'rabos kol dovor hanitzur b'yad. So this braisa explains the pasuk v'tzarta kesef yadecha to teach us that anything that can be put into your hand is acceptable to deconsecrate the Meisei Sheni produce onto. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Oh, that implies it doesn't have to be money. It could even be an asimon. Here is where Rabbi Yochanan says, the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing. It could even be an asimon. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva is like the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lirabos Kol Dovar Sheish Lav Tzura. It comes specifically to teach us V'tzarta Kesef Yadecha, that it must be not something you just carry in your hand, but it means something that has a tzura on it, like we paskin, that it has to be a coin that has a tzura on it, and it can't be a slug. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, Ketzad, how do you go and actually make this Kinyan Chalipin? Moshe Chemenu Peros, if Reuven did a Kinyan Mashiach on the Peros, V'lo Nasa Lomos, but he didn't yet give over the money to Shimon, nevertheless, En Yochel Achzer Bo V'chule, he can't go back, he is obligated to pay that money. So that is how we explain the Mishnah. But the other way around, that if you gave the money, so that didn't make the final kinyan, albeit you're over Misha Parah, but you could still theoretically retract. When Shimon has the money, he could still theoretically retract. Now, Rav Yochanan says, Dvar Torah Moritz Kodos. Here we have the source of the machlokas that we've mentioned also many times between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to whether money acquires or doesn't acquire Min HaTorah. So Rav Yochanan Lishitaso, Rav Yochanan, Dvar Torah Moritz Kodos. Min HaDin, Min Doraisa, when Reuven gives over money to Shimon, so Shimon has now given over to him that product, even though Reuven didn't make a kinyan on that product, it belongs now to Reuven because the money acquired it. However, why did the rabbis retract this din d'oraisa, didn't allow this din d'oraisa to take effect, essentially? No, the only time Reuven gets it is if he actually makes a kinyan mishicha. But as we learned in the Mishnah, if he didn't make a kinyan mishicha, so then technically Shimon can say, I changed my mind, here's your money back. It'll be over Misha Parah, but Min HaDin, he can give it back. How does that work? If the din d'oraisa is that he acquired it, Reuven acquired it by giving over the money, how can Shimon not give it to him? So we may ma'amu mishicha kona, that he has to make a kinyan mishicha in order for Reuven to get it. Because of the gzera that we mentioned many times, gzera shema yomelo, nisifu chitecha ba'aliyah. Because we want to incentivize Shimon to go and take care of that property. Otherwise, they say, sorry, your stuff all burned up. I didn't go and save it. Because it's your stuff, not my stuff. So in order to incentivize Shimon to properly watch the item that's in his physical possession, but technically really belongs to Reuven, so the rabbi said, no, it doesn't yet belong to Reuven. We're going to consider it as if it still belongs to Shimon, so he'll go and take care of it. Now, bottom line is, where it says, sov, man dishodo deleka boy shlomo, says, wait a second, why would Reuven or Shimon lose out? Whoever started the fire, he's the one that's going to have to pay for the damages. So why did the rabbis have to make a gzera over here? So the Gemara gives the obvious answer. El gzera shema tipo deleka bionis. The fire started on its own. There was an electrical spark that went off over here, and it caused the fire through nobody's fault, and therefore it would be an onus. And therefore, nobody would have to pay for it. So therefore, Shimon would say to Reuven, sorry, it was an onus. So in order to protect Reuven's item, so he can't, Shimon just can't say, nisrufu chitecha ba'aliyah. So the rabbis made a gzera. So Gemara says, El gzeira, shema tipo deleka ba'onis. It's for this scenario where it was an onus. Now, I mukmis la luhu birishusei, if we say, no, we're not going to follow the din daraisa, but we're going to say that, Shimon, you still have responsibility for it. Oh, moser, nafshe, torach, umatzu. He's going to get up out of bed and go put out the fire and make sure everything is done possible to save it because he's going to suffer the loss. V'lo. But if you say, no, it belongs to Reuven, so then he has no incentive. Lo mosa nafshe torach umatzel. He's not going to go and extend himself and go and save the item. He's going to stay in bed. No, I called the fire department. They'll be here in an hour. And he's not going to go and do anything. Oh, so that's the understanding of Yochanan. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, Reish Lakish, Amar, no. Mishicha mufuresh is min Torah. He says the din of Mishicha is the feirish in the Torah, that Reuven has to do a kinyan Mishicha. And there is no concept of Moz Konos. No, my time to Reish Lakish, where does he get this from? Because he says, Amar Kwan, the pasuk says, V'chi simkru mimkor la'amisecha, o kono miyad amisecha. You have to actually go and acquire it, make a kinyan mishicha. Dovra nikne miyad liyad. It must be a kinyan mishicha, and it won't work via Mos Konos. New Gemara says, what does Rav Yochanan do with that drasha miyad? So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan would say, miyad limute karka deles biyona. He says, the word miyad is to come to exclude something which can't be put into your hand from the din of onah. So there is no onah by karka. There's onah by metaltali, but there is no onah. There is no dinim of onah by karka. Whatever you pay for it is considered a valid price. No, Reish Lakish, what does he do? Imkein lichtov kra. He would say that if that's all you want to learn from the pasuk, it would say v'chi simkru memkar miyad amisecha altonu. Why does it say o kano? Why does it add the word o kano? Coming to teach us, according to Reish Lakish, shmamino l'mashicha, that you must make a kinyan mashicha, and the kesef is not kona midiraisa. Again, the word says, Rav Yochanan, why does he need the word okano? My Ovid Leh, what does he do with the extra words? Reish Lakish explained why they're not extra. So Rav Yochanan would say, Miboy Lelechid Etanya, you need it for the following drasha taught in the following brisa. The pasuk says, V'chi simkor memkar lamisecha okano miyad amisecha. So he says, that drasha of V'chi simkor memkar altonu, ain li eloshinis ana lokeach. That's only if there is ona. For the one who's purchasing it, he's paying more than he should. Oh, then there's onah. How do we know that it works the other way around? Nisana moche, how do we know that there's also minayin, that there's a din, if the one who's selling it is selling it for less than it's worth? So he's also entitled to the din of onah. So that's why it has to tell. Tamalah, the word okano. So when he says, Okano, Alsonu, so therefore, that is what we learn out, this din according to Rav Yochanan. No, Reish Lakish, why doesn't he dashen it this way? Reish Lakish, he says, Tarti, Gomamine, no, you can learn both. You learn not only this din of Onoa to both of them, but you can also learn out that it must be a Kinyan Mashiach and not that Moos are Konos. More continues says Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shakeset Biyado Yado Al Ho Yona. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Tanakama. The Tanakama says that once this chalipin has occurred, so that's it. You can't go back. But if there is a transfer of the money, so then the both sides can retract still the deal until the kinyan is made. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says Kol Shakeset Biyado Yado Al Ho Yona. The one who has the money, when Reuven gives the money to Shimon, so Shimon has the choice. Does he want to go back or not? But Reuven can't say, "Well, I'd like my money back. I'd like to, after all, not buy the product. I've changed my mind." So Moch who the Motzi Hadabe Lokeach the Motzi Hadabe. The one who is selling it, Shimon, who now has the money, he has the right still to retract, albeit there's a Mishapara. But the Lokeach, the one who gave the money, the one who's buying the item, he can't retract. Now, Iyamis Mishloma Moos Konos, if you're saying like Rav Yochanan holds that Midah Raisa the Moos are Konos, Mishum Hachi, Mocher Motzi Hadebe. We can understand why the one who is selling it is allowed to go back because he has acquired it. Lokeach Lemotzi Hadebe. But the one who's purchasing it can't go back because he gave over the money. Eli Yamis Moos Enokos, but you hold like Rish Lakish that the money is not, in fact, making the deal, so lokeach nami lo debe. So then, why can't the one who gave the money also retract? Because after all, he wasn't kona anything. He didn't make a kinyan mashiach. So why can't he change his mind as well? We understand Rabbi Yochanan says, according to Rabbi Shimon, that only the one who has the money can give it back. He can retract the deal if he wants, but the one who gave the money can't retract the deal because midaraisa, he in fact acquired it, so he can't go back. The rabbi said he doesn't get it yet, but he can't go back on the deal if Shimon wants to go through with the deal. However, according to Reish Lakish, why can't both sides retract? So Amalek Reish Lakish would reply and he'd say, Aliba the Rabbi Shimon lo kamina. You're right. My halacha doesn't work within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It only works ki kamina, Aliba the Rabbi Barabana. It only works within the opinion of the Chachamim. That both sides can retract. It's not yet a done deal. So therefore, both sides can retract. So Reish Lakish says, I hold like the opinion of the Chachamim, not like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Mara has another question. Bishlam al Reish Lakish. Everything is good according to Reish Lakish, who says that the Moos are not Koneh. You need Mashiach to be Koneh. So, Hainu Di'ika bein Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon. Oh, that is exactly the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's the machlokas between them? My Ika bein Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon. What exactly are they arguing about? So Gemara says, no, Ika benai de Ruchista. They are arguing about the din that Ruchista taught us. What did Ruchista tell us? Of course, Isa Tanoim. So they lived well before Ruchista, but the concept that Ruchista brings forward later on in his name, so that was a concept that was already well known during the times of the Tanoim. So what did Ruchista say? Dem Ruchista, kiderech shetiknu mishicha b'mochrin, just like there was a din that mishicha is required for the one who sells it. So he still can go back and retract on the deal until the person who's buying it actually makes a kinyan mashiach. So the rabbi said as well, kach tiknu mashiach b'lekuchos. So they also allowed the one who is purchasing it to also go back. And that is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon less like the Ruchista. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like this din of Ruchista, and therefore Rabbanon is Ruchista. Rabbanon hold like Ruchista and allow both sides to retract until the actual Mashiach is done, whereas Ruchista says, no, the rabbis never misakin over here this din in regards to the one who's purchasing it. They only said it in regards to the one who is selling it. Now we have a kasha on Reish Lakish. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, also our Mishnah, Aval Amru, Misha Para Midor HaMabul, the one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is going to take, so to say, revenge on the Dor HaMabul for doing what they did, so then he will be, L'hu L'asad Lipara Mimishenu Omei B'dibur. He will take vengeance, so to say, he will go and make them pay for those people that don't hold to their words. They don't follow through what they said. Now, if you say like Rav Yochanan, that in fact, that's what we have. That's why we have a Mishapara. Because really the deal went through, and if you don't go and do it, so then you over Mishapara. El Yamas Moos in the coast, but if you hold like Reish Lakish, that in fact there was no real deal over here, so then Amai Koi Biavol. So why then should it be a Mishapara? Aval Hu Asli Para. After all, the deal didn't go through, so why can't you retract? So Gemara says, no, that's the whole idea. Mishum Dvar. A person shouldn't go against what he said. You said you're going to do this. So even though Min Hadin, you weren't obligated yet, but you said you're going to do it, and therefore you shouldn't go back against your word. Gemara says, "Uvidvarim mikoy bavol." And really, just because you went against your word, you should be chayev amisha para. Avol huas li para. Is that really true? But Tanya, but we learned the brayso, and we turn to Memchesim and Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afo Bisha Amru, Talis Kone Dinar Zohav, even though Min Hadin, the Talis, can go and bring the Dinar into the seller's possession. So when the buyer goes and does a Kinyan Mashiach on the Talis, on the garment, so then the seller is acquiring Kone, the Dinar Zohav, the Ain Dinar Zohav, Kone Talis. But the other way around, the Dinar Zohav is functioning as money here when Shimon takes the Dinar Zohav, the talis doesn't automatically go into the possession of Reuven. Yes, while this is the halacha, nevertheless, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's going to hold them accountable, the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, and as well, Sodom, Amora, Mitzrayim, Bayom, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's going to take retribution against all these people, like he did against Sodom and Amora, and like he did to the Mitzrayim at the Yamsuf. Who also leave Misha and only be Deborah. The Brisa says that he will in fact go and take retribution against those people that didn't follow the word. And somebody who goes and does business transactions, he does mercantile business with just his word alone, Lokana. However, and somebody who goes and backs out, it was just the words that will make the deal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy. Ein ruach chacham nochemenu. V'yama Rava, yeah, anu ein lanu ella ein ruach chacham nochemenu. Yes, the rabbis aren't happy with this, but it doesn't say you get a misha para. So how come if you're not allowed to go back on your word? So when you're nosev and nosev bidvarim, so why isn't there a misha para as well? So Gemara says devarim v'ika badayumos koy biavol. Yes. Words alone are important that you shouldn't transgress them, but that won't get you a misha para. You're just the ruach hacham einochem menu. It's not right that you should make a deal with your mouth and then retract it. But when you gave money plus made a deal with your mouth and then you want to retract it, that's when you're going to have a misha para. Dvarim the ika badayu mos koib avol. In that situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and pay you back. You get a misha para. But if it's just words alone, just stam. No save, no save, bidvarim, dvarim, v'lekha, v'dayu mos, there was no actual transfer of money. So then the rabbi said, yes, ein ruach hakom no chay menu, however, lo koi biavol, there won't be a misha para. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.